we've got here is one part system Verilog, two parts blood, sweat, and tears, three parts startup success story. Welcome to Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, my friends. I'm Amelia Dalton, and in this week's podcast, brought to you by eejournal.com, we're talking about language parsers and how you, yes, you, can get a leg up on your startup success with a little help from Verific. Let me bring in Rick Carlson. So maybe you know about Verific. Heck, you've probably used their language front end a time or two, or 400. Either way, maybe you didn't know that they also help startups. Oh yes, it's true. Check it out. My guest today is Rick Carlson from Verific. Thank you so much for joining me, Rick.
It's great to be here. Thank you for having this conversation with us.
So first off, Verific is known as the go-to company for language parsers. Why is that?
Well, I got to tell you, I've been in sales in EDA for a very long time. And normally, you know, as a salesman, you're out hunting. This is really the first company I think I've ever been with where the customers come to us. We don't cold call. People start calling us, and we know when we get an inquiry that they've already done their homework. They know that they want a language front end. They contact Verific because it's become, over the years, the gold standard. We've been at this now for, what, 18, 19 years. And people really know that, especially as we move from Verilog to System Verilog, they know the language reference manual for System Verilog, I believe, is about 1,600 pages. They know that this is not something that they would want to do at all. So we get the phone call. We obviously go through the same level of care, whether it's a big company or a startup looking for a language front end. During those first couple of conversations, we find out a little bit about what they want to do. And at the end, we want them to be successful. But the real key here is that they contacted Verific because they've already heard, they may even used us in a previous company or heard of an engineer at their company using us. So it's rare to have the reputation that we have. And I'm not just touting this because I'm a sales guy, but it's kind of one of the easier products to sell in the sense that people know that they've come to us because it's very high quality.
So let's talk about startups in particular. Now, I know they're attracted to Verific's tools, but I understand you guys have a unique business model to help these startups. Tell me about that.
It's funny. McKeel and I actually were members of a kind of a founding team back in the early 90s. The company was called Escalade, and McKeel and I were some of the first folks in the door. We went out, contacted Kleiner Perkins, which is what everybody used to do back then, and another company called Hummer Winblad. And it took us about 90 days, but we wound up getting, you know, $4 million in our first round. Today, that's very hard to do. So when we get a call, let's say from a similar type of company that maybe mirrored Escalade of 20 years ago, the problem is they're coming to us. They don't have venture capital. They may even be working at a company and doing this on the side. Our primary job here is to not only get them started with Verific, so we provide at no charge a linkable library so they can begin their development. We don't ask them for any paperwork. And literally, in a matter of a few meetings, they go from wondering kind of how they're going to do it to basically being equipped with an entire development environment and the resources of support at Verific.com, which is, you know, I would have to say one of the best. I mean, we've been gotten lots of phone calls from various customers of ours after they used our product, but they said the thing that distinguishes Verific is our support is literally extraordinary. We've got a develop and support team in India in addition to the same in Alameda. So we're kind of providing, you know, around the clock. When they send an email to support at Verific.com for help, they could be getting a response at 10 p.m. here in California, and yet our engineers have gone home. It actually came from our team in India. So we surround them with not only technical support, and in some cases, we actually plug them into third-party independent consultants that have already used Verific in three or four or five app, you know, different companies. They've started their own consulting services firm, and they're providing that early engineering add-on support to the company's already existing team. We also know that they come maybe with no marketing expertise, and they really are trying to figure out how to position the value of their product. We've got multiple independent contractors on the marketing side that we help. And in some cases, you know, we plug them into people with money. One of our early customers here, this is probably about, I think they started with us about close to 8 or 9 years ago, was a company called Oasis Design Systems. They were doing physical synthesis, doing some new stuff in that area. I call up Joe Costello, and Joe's back in the industry as an investor, primarily because we started him back in that conversation early on with Oasis. He took them all the way. Actually, he negotiated the deal with Mentor Graphics for the sale, eventual sale of the company. And that was, you know, literally millions of dollars in that. I think it was a B round that we helped. When I say we, it's a combination of myself, Joe, and a few other folks. It's kind of getting them all the things they need to be successful.
So tell me about some of your horrific startup successes. Now, I know you've got a couple startups featured at your booth at DAC this year. Tell me more about that.
For me, it's exciting. You know, I've got a degree in math and computer science. My early excitement after I got out of college was getting to write software. You know, so I sense the excitement when somebody new comes to us. And we've had, in the last few months, three new startups. Two of them are just coming out of DAC. They're still in kind of stealth mode. And the other one is announced previously. But the first company is Tortuga Logic. They're based out of San Diego. These are four PhDs from the university. I think they're from UCSD. So all of their PhD work was around the issue of hardware security. People are reading articles today about planes being hacked, airplanes being hacked, baby monitors being hacked. So these guys have really taken a focus on the whole issue of hardware security and how do you really make sure that your chips are really secure. So they're at our booth today as well. Another company based here out of Austin, Texas, is a company called Austemper Design. What's interesting about that founder is he's a silicon executive working at companies like Conexant and Maxim. He was looking for a product like this for his company and couldn't find it and wound up deciding he was going to build that product that, you know, wasn't available to him. And he's on the trade show floor today demonstrating his two new products. And it all has to do with safety IP, basically inserting IP into a design to make sure that, and this has to do with, you know, of course, all the things we're seeing in the automotive field, the medical field. It's a standard called 26262. His product is minimum viable product. It's ready to go. We've had extraordinary interest in that product during the show. The third product, again, these are not EDA guys with EDA history. They come out of the semiconductor field. This is a company called Energy Systems, and they have really figured out a different way to help engineers very early on who are interested in getting information about power at the very earliest stages, even at the very highest level. It's not the same kind of tool you might have that is available to you through various other EDA companies that will maybe help you when you're finished your design. This gives you some early indications about what is the impact of this particular software going to have on in terms of power in this design. Very exciting company, Energy Systems. These guys also came, there's about seven engineers. They all came out of the chip world. So again, different backgrounds, but I think very fascinating new companies. They've already gotten strong interest here at the show. And we haven't done a whole lot of marketing. I mean, you know, we basically just announced we're going to have them in our booth, but it's been a really good turnout already.
All right, Rick, I've been dying to ask you this, I think for a couple years now. Why is your giveaway always a giraffe? What's the giraffe symbolize?
We have a number of employees in our company, and we have a height requirement. And that was set by our early founder, Rob Decker. You have to be at least 6 feet, 6 inches tall. Of course, I fell short of that, so I was lucky actually to be here. But it really has to do with the fact that giraffes are tall. They're very noticeable. Really, you know, it's all about how can we stand out from the rest of the crowd. And early on, we did have a few competitors, and actually today, most of our competitors are really not competitors, but they're people doing internal development at various customers. But, you know, we really wanted to stand out. We picked the giraffe. And we wanted to just basically be head and shoulders above the rest.
All right. Well, now I know. Thank you so much for joining me, Rick. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
No, it's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Speaking of startups, you know what time it is? It's time to submit your entry for this year's MEMS and Sensors Technology Showcase at this year's MEMS Executive Congress. So, what if you could show off your startup's MEMS or sensor-enabled product to a room full of venture capitalists, MEMS dignitaries, and distinguished members of the press, including me? Hey, and what if that room full of money, I mean people, was located in sunny Scottsdale, Arizona, in the middle of dreary, rainy November? Okay, maybe it's just dreary and rainy where I'm from. Anyway, yes, my friends, all of this could be yours and more. And more because if you're picked as a finalist in the showcase, you'll probably get to be on my show as well. worth its weight in gold, I'm telling you. Anyway, I would highly recommend that any and all of my audience who is working on a MEMS or sensor-related device to submit your product design to the MEMS industry group, which runs the MEMS Executive Congress, right away. And hey, if you want to do that right now, just click the link below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page on eejournal.com. I've also included a link for more information about the MEMS Executive Congress as well. One of my favorite events of the whole year. I hope to see you there. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if Google Plus is your thing, you can also join our circle on Google Plus. And we have a YouTube channel, keyword EE Journal, chock full of all kinds of techie videos, our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series, and our video series called On the Scene. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. I'm just saying. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can also grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of July 22nd, 2016, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.